Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program over News Talk 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. This morning, we're going to have a lot of fun because we are at the Bedford Fair, more correct, the Bedford County Fair. With us today is Bill Hoover and John Holbert, and it's great to have you guys. Appreciate you coming on very much. John, I'm going to start with you, and maybe Bill can chime in. I'd like to find out a little bit about how this whole thing started way back when. So I understand we're going to celebrate your 152nd. Tell me about that.
Well, it is. I'll tell you, a couple of years ago, we celebrated the 150th. That was a really big milestone.
Yes,
we were all proud of and excited to just be part of. So this year it's the 152nd. And it's also the America 250. So we're excited about that and try to do a few things and try to celebrate that at the same time.
Bill, give us a little origin of how the fair started a long time ago. One of the oldest fairs in the whole state, I suspect.
Yeah, it was incorporated.
Either one of you chime in.
It got incorporated in 1875. It actually was a group that got together prior to that to try to pull this all together. Mm-hmm. And they got incorporated. They bought some farmland up here, which was kind of on this far side of the fairgrounds where the barns are at.
Yes.
That was the original.
That was the original.
John, do you know who owned the farm?
I think of the family. Bill is looking in our history book because there's a lot on back here on that.
These guys have history books all over the
table.
Yeah, we have charts and graphs.
Notes in front of us here. The first fair was actually held in downtown Bedford in 1852 at the courthouse. And they were down there until through 1873. And then the present location was purchased in 1875. Somewhere it was purchased from the John Sproat family up here. The original, I think, was 15 acres. And that's how they started up here.
You mean they had livestock right in front of the courthouse?
I guess they had down there. There's history that we have, and we don't have a lot. There was horses and a few animals and that type of thing there.
Well, we've heard stories about they used to parade their animals to the fairgrounds, not only in town, but parade them up here to the fairgrounds.
Yeah. We ought to block all the roads and do that again.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. We will have, I think it's Thursday
evening,
right before the demo, we'll have a they'll have a parade, and the youth will bring their animals down the front stretch.
On the racetrack.
On the racetrack, and so we're trying to rebuild that back.
That goes back to a tradition back in the 50s and 60s. They had a livestock parade. It was still about the time I started in 4-H, which was 67. I think that was one of the last years for up there. So we started that when we had our 150th anniversary, just for nostalgia in here. And actually, people seem to enjoy it, really, being in it.
Well, that's what makes this thing different, is it? It's really one of the few country fairs of any import around. I mean, where I moved from Chester County, we had one in Unionville. And Unionville Fair was a great fair until it got paved over by developments.
Yeah,
it's happened a lot of fairgrounds. There's no farms. I mean, the farms are totally annihilated now. All they do is raise horses and people ride around and things. But that fair was pretty substantial because it was a state fair like yours is.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about how it started. What was the first thing they did back then? Were they just the livestock shows and things like that?
Yeah, they had livestock here, and they had horse racing, I think, pretty early on.
I tell you, one of the things I thought was interesting, they used to have come here and they would play ball games. Different parts of the county would come and they would play
baseball
game. That was part of, I don't know if they played it in the infield.
They did, I believe. Baseball was a big part of the fair and part of the entertainment back then. And I don't think there was a lot here as far as Midway or, they had a little bit of food here, but you have to remember back then we didn't have electricity here, so there was no refrigeration that day or anything. It was pretty limited what they could do back then.
And I still remember they used to bring in the Midway group would come in by train.
Well, that goes back, when we really started to have a full-fledged carnival.
They'd come into Bedford and they would, from the train, you'd go down and watch them get the animals off
the
train.
The first carnival right here documented was the merry-go-round in 1894. And it was probably sometime the first major carnival was Sutton and Wilson in 1935 that came by a railroad. And they were a big show in that day. And they made, I think, about 7 appearances here over the years, the last one being actually in 67 before they actually were just about done at that point. I think they were done the next year. They were pretty bad shape.
Yeah, I read recently about some of the fairs, especially in the East, that were visited by John Philip Sousa, who was the great band leader. Mm. He was actually a Pennsylvania native, and he went around all these fairs and did things. Yeah. Of course, later he became famous.
Yeah.
And, so maybe he showed up a couple of times or someone like him.
You know, I'm sitting here looking at that poster on our wall here in the room from 1912. It has 4 brass bands.
Yeah.
would have them come.
Something
to
like
the
that, race. Yeah. Yep. Our guests today are Bill Hoover and John Holbert from the Bedford County Fair. We're here to talk about the fair today, a little bit of its history. And a little bit later, we're going to talk to you about what's going to happen this year. What do you think, John, caused this fair to be so popular for so long? I mean, this has really just hung on and went through, 2 world wars? Yeah. I mean, it's just astonishing how long it's held on.
Through a lot of ups and downs over an awful lot of years. I always say a lot of it, of course, back in the early days, there wasn't a lot of entertainment around here. I mean, it was a big entertainment event in the summer, and maybe to some extent it still is. I think a lot of it anymore is it's just through tradition. There's been so many, particularly in recent years, so many changes. Everything has changed, and we're still here. I mean, we try to make some changes, but a lot of it's just a tradition every year, the Midway, the fair food, the animals. 4-H, of course, has been a great tradition here, and that's been, 4-H program really got going here in a larger capacity probably in the late 1950s. My father really started that, and that's kept going over the years. I mean, it's just as strong as it ever is. Some animals and numbers are ups and downs, you know, over the years, but, you know, it's still going on. So I think a lot of it's just tradition here that's kept it going all this time.
Well, we've got a tradition going on right in this building as we speak. The lady quilters are in the other room.
Yes.
I'm looking at this magnificent quilt they're making in there, and they came here early in the morning to start on this thing.
Yeah. It kind of speaks for the fair, like you were saying. It's a community fair.
Yeah.
It takes hundreds of people and volunteers to make it all happen.
Which we couldn't do without the volunteers.
We could do without. That's what they're doing out here, quilting. Sure. They're quilting, and then they'll raffle it off.
Yeah.
Some of that money's going to replace the doors on the coffee pot. They put it back into the coffee pot. In the summer, they'll actually quilt in the coffee pot.
They're known as the coffee pot quilters, even though they're in here a good part of the year because we don't have heat over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that to me, but I thought maybe it was referring to some coffee they were drinking. I didn't realize it was a coffee pot. Our coffee pot, I should say. Look at my card, you show it prominently on my card.
They'll be up at the Jordan Hall building during the fair. There's ladies in there quilting every day, kind of keeping an eye on things. And they sit in there throughout the day and work on something during the fair all week.
So it's a big community tradition. I think being in a big agricultural county, that's a big deal because, on that side, I was talking the other day, there's like 900 animals on the grounds at one time. You go through a barn and you think how many are in there, but when you add them all up.
But you have some new facilities here as well. You have a new beef barn that was built, a couple of years ago. You have all this other stuff coming in, so you're modernizing as you go here.
Gradually. You do it as you can do it, as it speaks. And do it as the volunteers that want to help put a different barn up or a different building. They all chip in. The community chips in to help.
I like the antique tractor parade. That's my favorite.
Yeah, we're trying to improve the coffee pot. We've got grants into that, and I know some clubs are interested in helping with it to try to redo the outside.
The beef barn was actually a 4-year project to raise that money for that over there. Started in 2017, and we got the dedication right before the fair in 2021. Of course, COVID, again, threw kind of a wrench into things, into our fundraising and stuff for a while, but that was all money was raised by a volunteer committee that
together. COVID. Those are the 2 years that we didn't have a fair was COVID.
1 year, actually, 2020.
Was COVID. But, the one was for the war.
Yes.
So there was 2 times that we didn't have a fair.
Yeah.
So that's pretty, says a lot for the community.
Yeah.
I mean, it sure does. And John, we were talking about this earlier. I started this program in 2016 or 17, I forget. You were one of our first guests.
Okay.
And I remember we were in this room talking about the beef barn. And how there going to be a great beef barn. And that, it was just on paper. There was no beef barn.
Yeah,
it was
the old one. Yep.
There was now it's a reality.
Kay Kring was at that time, is retired now, FFA teacher. And she and a group of her students were out here painting picnic tables. And she'd been involved in beef all of her life. She said, what do we have to do to get a new beef barn? I said, form a committee and you got to raise a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's the day it started up here. And we started meeting probably around the time it was just starting when you interviewed me in here, more than likely.
Our guests are Bill Hoover and John Holbert with the Bedford County Fair. We're here in their fairgrounds office. Which, by the way, I may add, sadly, is a new office because you had a little difficulty here a few years ago. Yeah, but it's come back very nicely. It looks great. It really does.
Yeah, that was right after the fair. It was 10 days after the fair in 2019. And it was electrical fire. It started, it was about 10 o'clock at night when the fire company came, and it was basically destroyed. Really everything in the office except this conference table where we're sitting, that was redone. And we have an old safe that we've used periodically, and it's still here. Everything else was basically destroyed in the office.
I mean, the framework, the outside framework stayed.
Yeah, the outside framework. And we were able to get our hard drives off our computers right away. And other than that, everything was just cleaned up.
To be that close to
at that point.
Are you confident about this year's fair?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're getting pretty ready for the fair and ready for the people to come and just enjoy themselves. I think right now the I'm not sure if it's which club's doing it. That's going to be doing picnic tables. They're actually going to provide them. So we're going to be adding tables to the grounds, which will make it a little more sociable and friendly for people and take a break. But, yeah, we're getting pretty much ready. We're excited for it. It's I don't know if you want to get into that. I know the week before fair, we're going to start out with some harness racing 2 days before fair week. Okay. And then we'll have 2 days of harness racing after fair week.
Well, we'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
I want to ask John, though, you mentioned fair food.
Yeah.
That's a tradition unto itself. You've got some multi-generational food people here.
We do.
Don't you?
We have a couple families here. They're a fourth generation at this point. Snyder family from up in Center County. It's been here, started here back in the 60s. The parents started here. And we don't have... We try to have a couple of new food stands every year, but everybody's been here for so long in the same locations, and people look for them.
They get their own building. You know where to go every year.
Yeah, and it's been, that's been a big part of my involvement with the fair is the Midway, the fair food here over a lot of years. And, it's just a big part of the fair in here. People come for the fair food, and I think we have a good variety here, too.
It might be good to know, talking about local folks on the concessions, the Midway rides, they come out of State College, so they're that's a close family.
Is that
outfit.
Where you're getting them now? Because I know you've got some change over there.
Barbaugh family
out of State College.
From State College, Center County up there. There's actually two units, there's two factions in the family there, but they've been with us now since 2018. Of course, like I said, we lost a year during COVID, and they've been very good to work with.
Good.
Hopefully they're going to have a new Ferris wheel this year. It's ordered. It's a $700,000 ride. It's coming, I think, from Italy, and it's supposed to be here this spring. I don't know whether it is or not. Of course, it's being shipped in. They're down. It will start in Philadelphia, down in that area. They work a number of dates down there in the early spring and then come back this way in the midsummer.
Our guests are Bill Hoover and John Holbert. We're at the Bedford County Fair. When we come back, we're going to learn all about what they're going to be doing this year in 2026. As Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Kelly Goodman Schaefer of the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk FM 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Now let's return to Lloyd and his guest on Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned, and we are at the Bedford County Fair with Bill Hoover and John Holbert, and these guys have been very informative in telling me what's going on. But what I want to know is what's going on this year, and you've got a whole slew of things. Bill, I understand that a lot of this stuff is traditional. You do the same thing every year, and people just come back for it. So let's start with the livestock. Tell me about that. What's going to happen this year?
Well, this year it'll be same as other years, but the biggest things always happen. The youth come in. They've raised their animals all summer long, getting them ready. They're making weight.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing them. They're being judged all week long. And then on Saturday is the big day where we had the livestock sale. Mm-hmm. I think last year the sale itself brought over $600,000 for the youth, not for the fair, but for the youth.
Yeah.
So there's a 4-H in this?
the 4-H. Yeah, the fair really has nothing. There's a large committee that run the livestock sale, but they are independent of the fair association. Right. I mean, they have their own checking account, their own officers, and they operate the sale over there.
They're kind of like a committee of the, of the fair. Yeah.
So if I've never been to the fair, and by the way, we must assume people listening to this, I know it'll kill you, but there are people who have never been to this fair, even though they may live here.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like living next to the Liberty Bell. People live there, they know about it, but they never go see it. So maybe they've never been to the fair. So when they come, what should they expect to see with this livestock fair? What's it like?
Well, I'll tell you what, you'll just see a really family-oriented atmosphere in the barns. Everything's calm, everything's going on. They're getting their animals ready. They're all getting along, and they're bringing them into the show arena to get judged.
Right.
And they're also bringing them in for showmanship. And, you know, they're trying to, they're competing. They want to be up there.
Very competitive, but friendly competition.
Yeah. And it's a lot of different species. There are over 900 animals that'll be showed. Then their top animal, Saturday, will come out to be at the livestock sale.
Yeah.
Right.
All the top animals have to go to the sale.
So how old are these young people that are doing this?
They can start now in 4-H, I believe, at age 8. Greg and Bill, you've got grandchildren. Yeah. And it was a little, I think it was 9 when I was in, a long, long time ago, in ancient times when I was in 4-H. 60 years ago, almost 60 years. Anyway, but 9 through age 18, right, or 19.
It's 19 through 4-H.
And then FFA goes through 21, age 21 in here.
So do the 4-H'ers at 8 years old present animals?
Yes.
Yeah.
They'll sometimes the animals are bigger than the kids are. A lot of times they are out there. But yes.
I think my grandson, I think he was 10, and he showed a boar goat. He came away from that show, and the hands are going up bidding on these animals. It's amazing the community support you have for people that are bidding because they want to give that child something worthwhile.
What you doing? You got swine, you got beef, you have dairy. Goats. What am I missing?
You got the swine, the beef, the dairy cattle, beef cattle,
lambs.
Lambs, right.
And turkeys.
Right. And the turkeys, right.
Yeah.
Turkeys were a new addition last year.
So they're a competition too.
Uh-huh.
Rabbits.
Rabbits.
Don't forget the rabbits, right.
Yeah, we've added a lot of stuff over the years.
They're more of they're being the livestock than. One further up, you have the horse and pony, and that's a large group.
Yeah, they're not involved in the sale, but they have shows ongoing for about 3 days up there.
I can tell you an interesting story. A few years ago, my grandson and daughter visited us.
Okay.
They lived then in Hong Kong. Huh. Now, this boy lived in Hong Kong, was born in Hong Kong, had never in his life seen a cow, chicken, or any livestock. He went wild when he saw those dairy cows.
I bet.
We just couldn't drag him away from that thing. He just couldn't believe that.
You know, that's a big part of our fair mission is to promote the agriculture and promote our livelihood and where our food does come from.
Because I think a lot of people miss that sometimes.
Yeah. We have a full-scale milking cow now that we take around like town and downtown on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids can actually milk it, take it to the schools. They have a blast going up on the trailer and milking this cow. Now it's milking water, but it's milking a cow. And it's like you see their eyes just open up.
She'll be up in the Jordan building with the Junior Fair Board. They have a,
we have a nice Junior Fair Board of kids ages 14 to 21 to help us out.
One of the high points for me is farm equipment that comes out there. You go, the dealers bring all the new stuff out, but a lot of antique stuff. Can you tell me a little bit about that, John?
Yes, I've always felt, I guess this goes back to my dad drilled this in me, but a fair should have farm machinery. And a lot of fairs don't anymore, and we're very fortunate. We have, the area's full over there. Several dealers that bring a lot of equipment in here, both new and used. We have the antique competition that equipment is judged over there, and also in the parade that we have on Thursday night. And it's just a big part of the fair. And like I said, there are very few fairs around that still have farm machinery. We've been fortunate. And we went through a period back in probably the 80s that it was difficult to get the machinery. We couldn't, but all of a sudden it started. The longest exhibitor here is the Bob Wilkins family from up in the Saxton area, and they've been here for over 40 years.
There is something very distinctive about a two-banger John Deere. That's a sound effect on radio that is absolutely distinctive.
Yep.
You can light up any other tractor, you know, six-cylinder, four-cylinder, whatever, but you hear that piece of machinery, you know exactly what it is. You can see it. And that you had one here last year at the fair. So that's what I mean when it comes with
and
the old with the new.
Another educational part of the fair. We just talked about the animals, but a lot of people, where do they see farm machinery? Maybe you drive by and see a piece in the field or something, but to actually get up close and personal on it and to be able to crawl on to stuff and, you know, put a child on a tractor, and it's an experience for
them. And you got a little hayride going, right? Takes you around the fair.
We have a tram that we operate, right, pulled by a tractor that's donated.
I'll tell you what's nice, you know, all these equipment companies coming in, they'll lend us their equipment to pull the wagon tram that we call it. Mm-hmm. And we use it for infield events. So it's a little more community coming together.
What else you got going on? Like in Jordan Hall, what's going to be going on there?
Well, Jordan Hall, we have what we call the senior exhibits in there, which is the canned goods, the artwork, the quilts, that type of thing in there. And that's probably about a third of the building in there, maybe close to half. And then we have some commercial vendors in there. A number of them have been with us for a number of years, a variety of things in there. We're still working on that right now for the year. As far as booking new vendors, the Junior Fair Board that Bill mentioned has several spaces in there, and they have called Kids Corner, where they do educational things on agriculture in there. They have our cow in there, and so it's a combination of things in there. The nice thing with the Jordan Building now is it's air conditioned. We put air conditioning in there a couple of years ago, and it is
nice. Now you guys are getting
nice
soft now. Come on.
We're getting old. I spend a lot of time in there myself anymore. And, it's not. People can come in there and cool off because it's end of July. It's hot most of the time.
Yeah.
So we have a wide variety of things going on in there to see.
Yeah. Now, you got the guys coming in with the rides this year. And he said you're going to have this enormous Ferris wheel.
Supposed to be here.
John knows more about that than I do. They probably have about 16 rides they bring in.
About 18 rides in here. They have, the company owns about 50 in two units. And they bring a nice variety of equipment in here.
I'm curious about something. Do they bring their own power?
Yes, they carry.
Because you couldn't possibly have
No, they carry generators with them.
Right, so I thought.
Semi-trailers are in the middle of the midway near the power everything. I think they have two of them in here.
Right.
And one is a backup. And, they carry, they're all self-contained. They use a little bit of our power here on the grounds for off-season or off-night, you know, with the refrigeration stuff on the food trailers, but they provide all their own power in here. And they come in here, they're at Jefferson County Fair the week before us up there, the week before Bedford in there, and they move in here overnight, open at 5
o'clock. It's a logistical wonder just having them come in here. I watch them come in.
Yeah, the way they move.
It's amazing overnight how
And they set it all up like an erector set.
They'll bring some of the larger rides will come in, the extra stuff the week before, but a lot of it will come overnight. They'll be in here probably 5 or 6 o'clock Sunday morning, and their workers will go sleep a few hours, get up, and they'll put it up, and they'll open at 5 o'clock.
Tell me about this circle of influence. How far away do people come to go to this fair?
Good tri-county area. We promote it down into Maryland.
Right.
Probably our
Cambria, Blair.
I've seen out-of-state license plates here. Ohio, New Jersey.
Prime drawing area, I would say, is kind of the 99 corridor up in Blair County, which has several small fairs but no county, down into Cumberland, Maryland. And, of course, we pull from eastern and western sides, too. Quite a few people come over from Somerset.
We do get
people from out-of-state that come in here.
Does Somerset have a fair?
Yes, they do. It's about a month after ours.
Somerset has one. Huntington has one. Those are probably some of the closest.
Those would be the closest.
I know Fulton's got a little one. I've seen that.
They're the week after us. Cumberland, Maryland has a little fair week before us.
Yeah. So what else is going on at this fair we have that I haven't been mentioning?
I'll tell you what we're kicking off. We talked about the harness racing,
which talked about that.
Will be early on and right after. But starting off on Sunday afternoon, we'll do a demo, which we used to have tractor pulls. We switched to a demo. And
which is a great fair tradition here, believe me.
Yeah, it really draws a crowd.
What do you do?
They get their cars out there and bang them up, and the last one standing wins.
Oh, that demolition
derby. We call it a demo, but we need to use the full term.
Demolition derby.
I thought you were demonstrating something. Yeah. No, I know the demo. That's wild. Yeah,
and they're all different sizes. I'd have to look up which species of car or truck they're going to have that night. We also have a demo on Thursday as well, but we've tried demos on Sunday night. And the other stuff that's going to go on that will actually start on Monday will be, we'll have the Dan and Gala show. The chainsaw artist will start.
It's our family day. It's half price. Really, I guess it's half price day, but it's our family day in here. And that's a cheaper night for people to come and enjoy the fair, which includes the rides and everything like that. And a lot of things going on that night.
Yeah, the kids' tractor pool goes on that afternoon.
Military appreciation.
Midway music will be open. The voices on the grandstand.
We should have a Black Hawk helicopter here from Johnstown.
That's in the works, but I think it's going to happen again.
I'm in the Fort Bedford Honor Guard. I know we come in and present colors here for that event.
Yes.
And you say you're going to have a chopper here this year. That'd be good.
Yeah, last year they came in the year before. They come in and fly. It's pretty amazing. Not quite sure when they're coming in. That was one year I was on the track setting. All of a sudden, that thing came in right up the front stretch, right out of turn one up towards four.
They do a presentation with it, basically.
You're right. It was hard to miss. It was an eye-opener for me. I just felt like clapping.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one year we were saying, where's the helicopter? Where's the helicopter? And holy moly.
It goes up in the back of the fairgrounds, and it'll sit up there for a couple hours. They'll be up there, and you can go up and look at it, talk to the soldiers up there. And
It's a nice thing they bring that in.
These are very old-fashioned value stuff. You know, you don't do anything wild here. You don't do anything risque here. You just have fun with it. It's just a nice thing. So it's completely safe for a family to come here.
Yeah. We try. Yeah, it's a family event.
You go into just, you know, we'll have music on the midway stage all week long, little different types of music. And then we'll go into the rodeos 2 days on Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll do rodeo nights. Boy, families really love the rodeos.
There is one thing I meant to cover when you're doing the history. Years ago, you had major acts here, musical acts.
Yes.
Now, I understand a lot of fears stopped it because the expense just got so
I've got it there. We've had, I'm looking at a list right now. When we had, and we've had, well, probably one of the older acts that was here back many years in 1970, Porter Wagner was here, but he had a singer with him. His backup singer was a lady by the name of Dolly Parton.
Right. So they came, and we've
had Barbara Mandrell here. She was a big name back in the 80s. And we gave it up for a while, and then we started back up around 1991, and we did country shows for about 10 years in there, and then they got too expensive. It's difficult when you have a pay-one-price gate to be able to afford the guarantees on these acts, and it outpriced itself eventually. Right. But we had a lot of big names here. Probably the most, in recent years, the most, I would say, well-known right now was Kenny Chesney was here back in 1997, right before he hit, he was already hitting the big time, but he was still playing county fairs.
Used to know a guy that ran a radio park. Radio park, whether it's a term for a fair that was that brought in country acts. I think that dates back to the early days of radio. But anyway, this guy told me that he tried to get the acts on the way up and on the way down.
Yes.
He said, because if you do that, they're less expensive.
Yeah, we did that.
And they're still just as good.
We did that with a group called Shenandoah in 1991. Right. And they were on the way up and really needed work. They'd had some financial legal problems. Right. We had them here when they were on top, and we had them on their way back down. We had them three times.
But they're good either way. They're still just as good. Any thoughts of doing this in the future, possibly bringing an act back?
I think what would really be nice, if we can't do it Fair Week, if we could do something like that off season and have it on the ground.
Right.
Yeah. But just have to figure out how to do it.
It's just difficult. Most fairs have dropped the music part of it.
Well, that's a whole profession unto itself is concert promotion. What did we forget here? Anything we missed?
Bill, you want to go over the rest of the entertainment. You talked about the demos, and Friday night is our traditional race night in here.
That's a big deal.
And that's a big deal in here is our car races on Friday night. The truck and tractor pull on Saturday, which is always very popular. Last year, unfortunately, we got rained out most of it Saturday night in here. Can't, you know, deal with a lot of rain on an event like that.
So, I mean, what else we have going on is the petting zoo, the chainsaw artist.
Yeah.
On Friday evening, they do an auction with some of their items they made. And they have it over in the 4-H building where they have an auction. And half the proceeds go back to our junior fair board.
The junior fair board
tradition
runs,
they started. The chainsaw artists, which, you know, aren't that far from us here. So a lot of the activities that go on are folks that are within Tri-County area from here.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you guys. You did a wonderful job today telling at the fair. And, of course, I wish you the best success here. 152, you're on your way to 200.
Right.
We may not be around to see it, but it'll be fun. And if you need from us, let me know. We'll help you promote this more than we already do. And it's good really to hear you. Thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it.
We want to thank
John Holbert and Bill Hoover for joining us today on Bedford County Speaks. This morning program was brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. Guys, give me the website.
It is.
You don't need to say www. Just give me the website.
Bedford/fair.com.
Okay, bedford/fair.com. And don't forget bcda.org. They're our sponsor. Be very nice to them. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 AM
If you'd like to hear the program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.